Dear Lord, what a sad little life, Jay.
Now, on FUBAR Radio, it's Pulse of the Nation.
Well, I'm being shady-ish, I'm being shady-ish.
I'm constipated, Darren! Boring!
You have to catch me first, I'm like a whippet.
Nah, it's not funny, I've got
scoobus wankers!
And that was the fucking news.
Here's your host, Andrew White.
Hello, I came in too early there. Spoke over my own introduction like an absolute amateur. But this is live radio. We can't redo it. We are indeed live down your airwaves on the internet. Obviously, this is available as a podcast, but I do recommend you listen live. There's a certain magic in the air for the live show, especially some of the adverts that we have. Right before us, we just had some beautiful sort of Wii music promoting Russell Quirk with his sort of bricks and mortar building podcast. It's pure classic radio adverts. Listen in, tune in live, but also if you're not available, podcasts are the way forward. I've completely controversial, contradicting statements there. I'm just stalling because I've got a brilliant show and I'm intimidated by the quality of a guest we have today. We've got the brilliant Charlie Bowers in the studio. He's my co-host today, a legend in the cryptic crossword and comedy world. And then later on we'll have Alex Mason joining us. But we start every week with the news, which of course has been lots of British news. Obviously, British Steel has been saved by the government from the clutches of Chinese ownership. Bin strikes in Birmingham are still continuing. They've recently rejected another deal proposed by Birmingham City Council. Now, what I love about anything happening in Birmingham is you can always rely on the Birmingham people to give you a good on-street vox pop. And this was a genuine quote from Birmingham Live today. First of all, there was a man talking about his Mercedes that apparently has been written off because the rats chewed through the wires of his car, which sounds like insurance fraud to me, but they published it, so it must be true. But this is my favourite one. This is a woman who says, I think everyone was hoping they would come to a solution because it's not fair on the residents. We've seen a couple of dead rats and they are quite huge. Really, really, really huge rats. But the stench last week was horrible. It's frustrating. I've got a cat, so I'm like, I'm going to send my cat out, but I think my cat is going to be scared of the rats because of the size. It's not nice. So pretty dire straits in Birmingham. It's getting pretty bad. Cat intimidating large rats. That's what's happening over in Birmingham. Well, of course, it's not just in UK news. It's not just global news. It is now intergalactic news. Of course, there's Blue Origin blast off into space. This is a rocket full of seven notable women, including the pop star Katy Perry. Now, if you're trying to think which one's Blue Origin, Blue Origin is the divorce loser billionaire's Jeff Bezos' space program, as opposed to divorce loser billionaire Elon Musk's SpaceX program. Handy mnemonic for you. X, ver marks the spot. Abuse workers feel blue. That's how you can remember the space programs from the different loser divorcee billionaires. Now, they set up these seven women in these sort of superhero-style jumpsuits. And I don't know how they managed to make an all-female space crew have such a Fathers for Justice vibe. But I suppose that's the imposing presence of Jeff Bezos just kind of getting a stink of creepiness over the whole project. Katy Perry came back and kissed the ground. Obviously, sort of, I kissed a girl. Very famous for that. There's a joke in that somewhere. Make of that what you will. And they were set off in the New Shepard rocket. Of course, the New Shepard rocket, named after Ben Shepherd. Yes, the TV presenter Ben Shepherd. Jeff Bezos loves, apparently, the ITV quiz show Tipping Point. He says the falling coin machine represents trickle-down economics, and when they fall, it reminds him of his catastrophic environmental impact and legal working conditions, which have pushed many people and communities over the edge. Plus, he likes that clip where the silly contestant thinks Homer, the philosopher, loves donuts. So some good stuff happening over in the space programs in America. Over here in the UK, Craig Williams, a former Tory MP, has been charged because of the general election betting scandal, one of 15 charged for this offence. Now, this was a bet on when the general election would be called. He placed this bet the day before the general election, and he is a sitting Tory MP. How thick do you have to be to think you will get away with that? Like, that is, I mean, I suppose there is a level of thick to be in that position in the first place, obviously, as a Conservative MP. But to think that you get away with that, that's less of a fraud investigation and more of sort of like a children's sort of menu map. That's just sort of like a crayon drawing. Can you draw the line between the Tory pig and his betting slip? Kemi Badenoch came out and sort of denounced this action. The Conservative Party said, "We believe that those working in politics must act with integrity," which is mad that she's happy to pretend politicians have integrity, but thinks that someone wanting to be called Jane instead of James is laughably unbelievable. I'm sorry, Kemi, but political sleaze is immutable. You're either principled or you're a Tory politician. You can't just identify as righteous and get people to use pronouns like the Right Honourable. Also, they should use their own bathrooms. It's not right. I don't want to share a toilet with a Tory. Hungary, meanwhile, speaking of trans rights, has blasted LGBTQ plus rights in the country, in putting forward a constitutional amendment which has banned public gatherings such as pride parades and anything that quote-unquote promotes homosexuality to children. Now, I cannot stress this enough. We are not promoting homosexuality. There is no event that is promoting. There's no recruitment drive happening. God forbid, if there was a recruitment drive, it would be a very effective recruitment drive. I've said it before. The gays are artistic people. They'd have a lovely pamphlet. We'd have the whole world converted by lunchtime, right? You know, the thing is, if there was genuinely a tete-a-tete sort of like, oh, what can we do to encourage people to join our side, straights or gays? Obviously, it's not a two-way fight in any sort of way. But if it really was that, then the gays would win, right? We've got all the graphic designers and all the artists. The straight propaganda would just sort of be mid-90s word art. And the sort of heartbreaking thing about that is if you look at all the options for mid-90s word art, they're all very gay. They're all rainbows and very colourful. So, yeah, look, it's not, we're not promoting homosexuality. I grew up, I didn't see any sort of gay stuff really around me. I didn't have any gay friends. I didn't go into any gay pride parades. The only gay couple I ever saw was Mitch and Cam on Modern Family. And they didn't want me to be gay. First of all, I already knew I was gay. They just made me want to be rich. That's all I really wanted from them. So the promoting homosexuality is ridiculous. But Viktor Orban, the Hungary sort of far-right leader, has pushed on with this anyway. You know, it's just unsurprising, really, that we're heading in this direction. LGBT rights across the globe are being affected. It's not just, you know, Hungary or America or those Middle East. Over in here in the UK, there's sort of increased sort of power and sort of influence given to people like J.K. Rowling and groups like the LGB Alliance. I don't know if you know the LGB Alliance. They are an anti-trans group. They're very clever. What they've done is they've taken the acronym LGBT. That's very intellectual stuff. And they've taken away the T. It's good stuff. Of course, that's the best way to deal with trans people, lopping something off, really nailing the core message there, the LGB Alliance. Now, they basically are a group of sort of anti-trans gay people, because you have to remember that gay people can be just as evil as any other group of people. We are a multifaceted group of people, and that includes bigots. And I think the thing that these anti-trans gay people don't realise is that eventually it will come back on gay people. If you erode trans rights, we will eventually erode gay rights. We are getting into bed with the wrong sort of people. You're getting into bed with people like Viktor Orban that are going to sort of attack your rights as well. They don't understand that being gay is inherently gender non-conforming, that if you attack gender non-conformity, you're going to attack gay people. You know, a man and a man and a woman and a woman, that is gender non-conforming. And people are obsessed with gender roles in this country. You know, people always ask me, I don't know, when I first got my partner, my first sort of same-sex relationship, people always say, you know, how does it work? How does it work? Because obviously, because you know, you're a, and you're a, and you've got a. So how does it work? I have to step in, but they have an aneurysm. I'm like, geez, we take it in turns. Sometimes I sing the Audrey part of Suddenly Seymour. Sometimes he sings the Audrey part of Suddenly Seymour. We've got a rota for all the big duets. And we end every week with some parking news. What a transition. Ironically, transition. What a transition out of sort of heart-wrenching erosion of LGBT rights. But we end with some lighter parking news with the news that Milton Keynes, our long-fabled enemy here at the Pulse Nation, is set to scrap all free parking in the city centre under new plans that have sparked major concerns amongst residents. Now, I think this is a horrible move. I think Milton Keynes is a horrible, historyless shithole. And if you want to encourage people to go there, if anything, you should pay people to park in Milton Keynes. So this is a move that is completely antithetical to the progression of Milton Keynes as a sort of project. However, my co-host today, I mentioned this to him before we went on air. I said, what do you think of Milton Keynes? And I'll bring him in. Hello, Charlie Bowers.
Hello, thanks very much for having me.
Thank you for coming in. I'm so sorry just to jump straight in with this.
Yeah.
But defend Milton Keynes to me.
I quite like it. I like the roundabouts.
Yeah?
When I was driving through it, I've only been there a couple of times, but I find it sort of hypnotic. In a nice way, you know? It's
okay.
quite mindful.
I don't think
roundabouts.
Hypnotic should be used in conjunction with driving. I don't think you should be in a trance state whilst behind a motor vehicle.
No, that's when you drive best, I think.
What, when you're just zoned out?
Yeah, when you sort of don't realise where the last 10 minutes have gone, that's where I find I'm driving my best.
Meanwhile, there's like 7 toddlers just run over in the road behind you. There's chaos, carnage. You have no concept of it.
No, I'm having a nice time.
Yeah.
I like Milton Keynes. I think it's quite nice.
Yeah. What's the favourite thing you've ever done in Milton Keynes?
you really put me on the spot.
Yeah, there we go.
It's
exactly.
The roundabouts. But I found out yesterday that Bletchley Park is there. I didn't know that.
Really?
Yeah.
I actually didn't know this. Well, let me Google this because in my mind, Milton Keynes postdates Bletchley Park and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Go on.
So I really wanted to go because they've got like an AI exhibition on at the moment, and I'm quite interested in all that, and I wanted to go. And I thought, oh, I assumed it was sort of in London for some reason, or sort of on the outskirts of London.
Well, I suppose Milton Keynes is in a way is in the. Yeah. It looks like they built Milton Keynes around Bletchley Park.
It does, doesn't it? And maybe they did.
I think they did actually. Yeah,
that makes sense.
So they've got an AI exhibition at Bletchley Park.
Yeah, and I wanted to go, but it turns out that it was quite depressing, really, because I'm not a child, I'm not a senior, I'm just sort of in that period of my life where I just have to pay full price for everything. They don't want my custom, basically. They don't want to encourage me to go to places like that. And I thought, well, I'm not paying full price. It's like 20 quid.
And you have to go to Milton Keynes,
yeah,
of course.
I have to go to Milton Keynes, yeah. Oh, and so I'm not driving at the moment, so I can't even go around the roundabout. So I have to
you have to get a train to Milton Keynes, which is the saddest thing that anyone could do, really.
Yeah.
And then pay 20 quid for an AI exhibit.
Yeah.
Which I assume it's an exhibit on the sort of nature of AI. It's not like, you're not like going to see AI art or anything like that.
No, I would like that, though. That would be great.
Yeah.
No, I think it's just about like history of AI and where it's going.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that does sound very interesting.
It does.
And,
do you want to go?
You want me to drive you to Milton? That's what you're trying to cop a lift.
Yeah, please.
Well, let me see what the concessions are. One second. So the thing is, I have the same experience of like not being in concessions anymore, but very occasionally, because I go to the football, as you know, we've been put together before.
Yes.
Very occasionally, you get an away ticket that has the under 25 category, and I just sneak in and I feel. But I'm 25 now, so I've only got a few more months really of enjoying any concessions whatsoever.
I think there's an 18 to 25 concession.
But then I'm not going to be. But you know, by October, I won't even have my 18 to 25 rail card.
That's what I mean. We've got to go now.
Yeah.
If you want to get your concession at Bletchley Park.
Oh, for God's sake. Stop trying to convince me to go to this. Let me Google it. But AI Bletchley Park. Let's have a look at this. The age of AI at Bletchley Park. This isn't an advert. I'm just genuinely, I'm sort of tempted for a day trip with Charlie here, my dear friend. While I scroll through this, you live in London now.
I do.
So I'd have to swing past South London and pick you up on the way to Milton Keynes.
Yeah.
Other than, you know, being rejected for concession. How are you enjoying London? How are you finding life in the city?
I'm really liking it. It's expensive to get in and out because I'm on the periphery of London. I'm down in Bromley sort of way.
Yeah, barely London, really.
50, yeah, but it's Kent. It used to be Kent. That's how not London it is. No, it is London on the Wikipedia page.
Have you seen those TikTok videos where they go to places like Bromley or sort of on like Bexley Heath or something like that, and they'll ask people in the street like, "Oh, is this London or is this Kent?" And all the young like people who obviously just bought houses there are like, "London, London," and then all the proper locals like, "Kent, isn't it? Fucking Kent."
I think I'm in the London group.
Yeah.
I live in London. I definitely live in London.
Yeah, you definitely live in London. Yeah, you can get TfL. I think that's the cut-off. If you can still get TfL, if you can tap it in and out of wherever you're going, that is fine.
Yep.
But become a friend of Bletchley Park. Oh, my goodness. Why is it so impossible?
You don't have to become a friend. We just have to go there.
No, but this has become... book your visit. Let's see. Buy a gift ticket. Book admission. Book afternoon tea. Right, hang on. I'm going to get in the weeds of this. We're going to head to a break in a minute.
Okay.
Maybe after the break, we will have booked to go to this. We'll give you a date. We can all go as a group, the listeners of FUBAR Radio. Come along. I'll give you the date and the time, and we'll all go on a big group outing. To the age of AI at Bletchley Park. Now, before we head into the break, I'm actually going to give you a cryptic crossword. You're famous for your cryptic crossword comedy innovation.
Yes, in a way, I suppose. That might be a bit grand, but yeah. more famous than I was, yeah.
I think, and this is saying something, I think you're the most famous cryptic crossword comedy content creator in the world.
I think that's probably correct.
A narrow field of which you come at the top. So you started. You love cryptic crosswords anyway. So you've got a genuine cryptic crossword page at Cryptic U, and you've got cryptic crossword merch, crypticu.com.
Yes, thank
you.
But
you also do parodies of another famous cryptic crossword influencer.
It sounds terrible, doesn't it? It sounds very tiresome.
Yeah, this is like less Pulse of the Nation and more sort of like afternoon tea right now, isn't it? But I'm going to give you a cryptic crossword clue. This is probably maybe one of the worst quiz mediums for an audio format.
Awful. Just terrible.
But we'll see if you can solve it during the break whilst I try and solve the Bletchley Park booking website page.
Okay.
Clinician removes many a droop. Clinician removes many a droop. Uh-oh. Four letters. Clinician removes many a droop. Uh-oh. That's four letters. I wrote this clue myself. We'll come back for Charlie's verdict on the quality of the clue, see if he's got the answer, and we'll give you our date for our Bletchley Park group visit after these commercial breaks.
FUBAR Radio. Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Very good.
That is the sound of Charlie Bauer solving the cryptocrossword right down to the second. Literally, as we came back on air, I think he just got it. And now cryptocrosswords might be a sort of confusing world for many people out there. They're basically like little word games for virgins. That's sort of how I'd describe it. I don't know if you agree.
Yeah, that's completely correct. Yeah.
And you're as the premier influencer in this space, I think
premier
you're...
Premier virgin.
The premier virgin, yeah. I do enjoy cryptocrossword. Occasionally, I'll write some clues and send them over to Charlie. This is one of them. Clinician removes many a droop. Uh-oh. And that's four letters. What do you think it is, Johnny?
Yeah, so I think we've got your clinician. You'll have stand-ins, so you can replace certain words with shorteners. So clinician is going to be doctor.
Yeah.
Removes is telling that you're going to take that away. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to take that away, because you can see that there's a doctor in droop, so you're going to take that away. Many a is telling that you're going to pluralize droop to droops. Mm-hmm. Then you take away the DR for doctor, and you get oops.
Uh-oh.
And that's your definition, uh-oh.
There you go, four letters. He smashed it.
Yeah.
It was very exciting.
You held my hand a bit in the solving. I couldn't quite get it in the time. You did give me a hint. I feel dishonest.
I distracted you. I didn't give you your full allocated time because you were helping me solve the concessions page of Bletchley Park Booking, which has, I shit you not, 20 different concession options. Here are the options. You can buy, in this booking page, a Bletchley Park guidebook. You can be an adult, which is £25.50. I can see why you didn't want to go.
That's me, yeah.
Concession, over 60s and students with valid ID, £23. Child, 12 to 17, £17. Family, two adults and two children, £69. Children under 12, free. Family, one adult, two children, £43.50. Local resident adult, got valid ID to prove that you're a local resident at Milton Keynes. I suppose this is one of the few benefits.
Yeah.
You get reduced access into Bletchley Park. Then all the concessions are repeated, but as a local resident. And then all the concessions are repeated again, but as an English Heritage member. So if you've got an English Heritage membership card. Mm. So there's like a million different, ironically, for the code-breaking Bletchley Park, there's a million different combinations you can do to get into...
And I'm not any of them.
And you're not any of them. And no. It's infuriated me so much so that I'm also not going anymore, sorry.
That's a no from you. That's a hard no.
Yeah, it's a hard no. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Fine. I'll find someone else.
I could Google the history of AI. I'll just read out to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although our producer Kieran came in and said that he went to Bletchley Park a couple of weeks ago, and if you buy a ticket, it's actually an annual pass, so you can go as many times as you want.
And I will make full use of that. I'll be there every weekend on the train.
I hate museums that do this annual pass thing because you're trying adding pretend value. I don't want an annual pass.
Yeah.
And my local museums are the worst. There's like a little 40 Bridge Museum, a very lovely little museum. I do support it, but it's like, oh, your ticket's an annual pass.
Mm.
The history of Fording Bridge, this is like a little town in the middle of the New Forest, is not going to change in the next year. The best I can hope for is you have a photo of the high street in a slightly different year to the photo of the high street you already have.
Yeah.
This is the high street in 1960, and guess what? We've unearthed the new photo of the high street in 1965.
Yeah.
An annual pass for a local museum is like a loyalty card for Dignitas. It's like you're not going again.
Yeah, that's really true, and it's a racket really, because it's added value for them, because the only way you're going back is if you take someone new who you haven't been with
exactly,
the first
and
time.
They've got to buy a ticket, and then they've got an annual pass.
It's a sham.
Oh my god, it's a pyramid scheme.
Yeah,
you just keep bringing other people,
pyramid scheme,
and they buy new annual passes.
Yeah.
Wow, if only it was an exhibit on Egyptology and that pyramid scheme would have been a brilliant joke as well as a true observation.
We could do it again.
Yeah, yeah.
I really want to go to this Egypt.
Yeah, there's in the museum in Fordingbridge, I don't know why it's in the New Forest, they've got, I tell a lie, in Dorchester, do you know Dorchester?
It's a little town
in the middle of Dorset.
Blanford.
Yeah, it's near Blanford. Absolutely fuck all there. Mm. They've got the world of Tutankhamun. They do have an Egyptology experience. And I'm pretty sure if you buy a ticket, it's an annual pass. So it is a pyramid scheme.
Let's go.
My friend, Joe Wells, friend of the show, he did a gig in Dorchester. And this woman was like, oh, I saw Tutankhamun at the Dorchester Museum. Mm. And he was like, oh, no, it's just an exhibit on Tutankhamun. They don't have Tutankhamun's body there. And she was like, no, I did. I saw Tutankhamun. And it's like, no, they don't keep Tutankhamun in Dorchester. I can assure you. There you go. Yeah, the Dorchester Tutankhamun exhibition. Maybe we'll Google that in the next break.
Yeah,
and plan a family trip to family. We're going to be a family now, Charlie.
That would be great.
Yeah. That's the cheapest way to get in, I think.
Yeah. I've got bad memories of Blanford. I did a gig there on a bombed horribly.
Yeah.
Well,
I think I know exactly who that was for.
My stand-up,
no, it? No, but I know the audience of that promoter, and you're not their cup of tea. No. Like, you're carving your own path.
Yeah.
Around
Blandford.
Yeah. A global tour that excludes Blandford yeah. and surrounding areas.
Yeah.
So, look. You're a comedian. You're a fantastic comedian.
Oh, thank you.
You've got lots of stuff going on. You tempted me with something, and we did lots of this before the show. Well, I'm like, save that for the air. We're about to head into some Facebook forums.
Yes.
Now, you have history with Facebook forums. Tell me about the Our Lady Diana Facebook forum.
Well, I'm not active anymore. I'm not an active member anymore, but there used to be, maybe there still is actually, I haven't checked on it in a while, but there used to be a Princess Diana memorial page.
Yeah.
And it's sort of, it's just people ironically posting, you know, very heartfelt messages to our Di, who of course has passed over.
Yeah.
And I had a couple of quite popular posts, but I also made a
you're posting.
Yeah, I was one of the posters.
What stuff were you posting?
I made a Princess Diana Martin Bashir. You know the interview,
the famous interview.
I did like a house track mashup remix thing, and it's on Spotify. You could still listen to it. It's on there, and I put it on there.
What should we search to find this Princess Diana Martin Bashir?
Just search for R Di.
Yeah,
and it's the only song under that artist's name.
Oh, amazing. Well, look, I'm going to get this up, actually. We can play... As you have the rights to this music, I suppose we can play this on the air.
Yeah, you have my express permission to play it.
Thank you so much.
It'd be nice if someone did, because I think it's still got less than 100 views.
How did it go down in the forum?
People liked it, I think, yeah.
Our Dive. I'm getting Our Dive, Our Divinity, Our...
Oh, this is depressing, isn't it?
So what's your artist name?
So it's AR.
Yeah.
New word, DI.
R Di, that's why I didn't find it.
Yeah.
There's an artist called R Di.
That's me.
That's you. Are you verified? Is it called Angle XO?
Yeah, that's it.
Is it because she's an angle in heaven?
She's an angel in heaven, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Let's give this a play. This isn't you. Oh, I don't have Spotify Premium, sorry.
Oh,
What I accidentally started playing there was Traversed by the Mechanism. Why do I have to pay to play a specific song?
Yeah.
That is ridiculous.
So
what they've done, rather than let me play your Princess Diana anthem Angle, they've just given me a playlist themed around your song.
Yeah.
From 2021,
which I actually kind of want to listen to now.
I'll send you the playlist. Well, look, find that yourselves, and then maybe in the break we can have a little search around whilst we're booking our tickets to the Tutankhamun exhibition. So you're an avid Facebook forumer. You like a good Facebook forum.
I think I used to be. I don't know if I am anymore, but yeah, I have Facebook.
I'm weaned familiar yourself
with its wares. Yeah,
yeah. The R Di was a very specific thing. Have you been in like local forums for like your surrounding areas?
I think in my hometown where I'm from, I think I've been on that a couple of times, and it's pretty spicy stuff. It's a lot of drama. So it's drama for people who don't have a lot of drama in their lives. I think that's where they
There's
make it.
A few pages on here that are called like blank gossip.
Yeah.
So and it's like it's not gossip at all. Like I've got good gossip. You've not.
Yeah.
That's not gossip. Oh, they run out of plastic bags at the Sainsbury's. Nobody gives a shit. Well, actually, this is my local forum. I found this again out in the wild. This is from Fordingbridge, the aforementioned. Of course, head down to the Fordingbridge Museum. Was there a naked man running up Normandy Way just now? Shocked emoji. So this happened just 2 days ago. Somebody seeking reassurance, was there a naked man? Did I imagine it? And somebody's replied, yes. He jumped on my bonnet, waving a bit of paper. I reversed and drove off. So I don't know, Carl and Nathan have experienced this naked man running around Fordingbridge with a piece of paper. What do you think the piece of paper might even say?
God, I don't know. I was just thinking this is sort of the perfect crime, isn't it, for Carl to do that. And
to
be like,
the naked man.
Who was that?
Yeah,
who's
this
naked man?
It's like the insurance fraud guy from Birmingham.
Yeah.
He's written off his car and he's put it in Birmingham Live to be like, look, it's in Birmingham Live. I didn't do this. The rats did this. He's like, yeah, who was that naked man?
Maybe the paper was a receipt for his dry cleaning and he's going to go pick it up.
That's because that's how you do dry cleaning, of course. Everything all at once, and then you walk around naked. let's see what our next post is. This is one of the gossip pages. North Devon gossip. Let's see how you react to this gossip. Hot tea gossip. This is from an anonymous member of North Devon Gossip. Coombe Martin Co-op's main signage, not side signage, main signage, states open daily 7 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Photo was taken at 9:35 p.m. today. And then you can see there is a co-op that... I'll be honest, from the photo, it could be open.
It kind of looks open.
It does, yeah,
it's
yeah.
got all the lights on.
The lights are still on. But I guess there's no cars parked there. Maybe this guy just assumed it was closed. Anyway, point is, if this isn't the case, update your fucking sign. P.S. What a shit show Coon Martin is becoming. It's really gone to the dumps. So sort of a broad sweeping attack on the village of Coon Martin. But also this co-op that is closed... 25 minutes too early, apparently.
From a distance.
From a distance, yeah, yeah.
From quite a distance.
Seemingly, maybe closed, but the lights yeah. are on, and we've not walked up to the automatic door.
Yeah, this feels like libel, doesn't it? Is this libel or slander? I can't remember.
So slander is said and libel is written, I believe.
Okay.
But either way, it's an anonymous member. We can't track who has made these erroneous claims. Let's head out of the gossipy world of North. I forgot I put this in here. This is, again, look, as much as cryptic crosswords aren't necessarily a good medium for radio, this is perhaps the worst photo for radio.
Yeah.
It is a poo slip. It is a very humorous poo slip.
Yeah.
This is so immature, but seeing this poo slip made me laugh so much. Slipped in this massive dog poo earlier in the village. I pulled my hamstring and can't work now. Please can you be responsible and pick your dog poo up, please? Of course, heartbreaking for this person. They pull their hamstring. They're not going to get PIP payments based on the new guidelines. But my favourite thing about this is just how perfect you can see the slip within that poo.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And it's also sort of vaguely made the shape of a cock and balls as well, which is quite nice.
What a double whammy there. Not only can you see the perfect slip and imagine this hilarious pratfall, but he slipped it into the shape of a penis. That's good stuff.
It doesn't get better than that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a shame you're not here live in the studio, listener, because that is... That's top quality stuff. Now we're in the Swindon Community Notice Board. I know they look pretty, but is anyone else annoyed that wild parakeets are spreading around Swindon? Apparently there's a parakeet epidemic in Swindon. Their squawk is loud and irritating and doesn't fit in with our native bird calls. During the summer, I started hearing them at St. Mark's Recreation Ground while playing tennis. Now, in the last few days, one has taken up residence near where I live. I can hear it while I'm writing this, and I wish it would shut up. So what do you make of this sort of parakeet pandemic?
I love that it doesn't fit in with the native bird calls. That's my favourite part. It's upsetting the orchestra of the local
There's a perfect
calls.
Sort of soundscape to Swindon.
Mm.
And the parakeets don't just fit that soundscape.
Parakeets are lovely, though. How miserable is this person? That's such a nice thing.
Well, they
thing.
Live in Swindon. Swindon is second only to Milton Keynes in areas that have my affection.
In the punchline hierarchy, Swindon's pretty high up, isn't it? There always a punchline.
Well, Swindon, again, famous for roundabouts.
Mm?
Maybe if the best thing that's known about you is roundabouts, you are just inherently a shithole.
Yeah. Is there anywhere else? Where else is the roundabout hotspot?
I don't know. Well, there must be... Yeah, let's Google top... I'm really using the... Basically, now I've got this touchscreen thing. I realise I can access the internet from it, although it is being annoyingly... and I'm just abusing it so much. I've Googled so many horrible things on this. The internet search history of Fubar Radio is awful. The UK's most dangerous roundabouts, unusual view of the Ainley top roundabout, types of roundabout. I've accidentally got onto a theory test website. Roundabouts Belarus.
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, let's go to Belarus. Okay, yeah, see if they've got concession tickets to Belarus. Yeah, I don't know. There's no sort of roundabout, the Seven Circle roundabout, how it actually works. I think that's the magic roundabout in Swindon. Okay, yeah. Look.
I feel like Wimdom in Norfolk popped into my head for some reason. I feel like I've gone over quite a few roundabouts in Wimdom.
Yeah, and or Wimdom is... I think Wimdom's a shithole as well. So I think
have you been?
A roundabout... Yes, I've been to Wimdom, yeah.
Yeah.
Did you go gig there?
No, my grandparents live near there, so I've been...
Oh, I'm so sorry to your grandparents.
Yeah.
I'm really shitting all over your favourite places. Your grandparents...
No, I didn't say it was a favourite place. It's just there's a lot of roundabouts there. Yeah, that's all.
Well, speaking of roundabouts, I think we're going in circles here. So let's head into our... Good, nice. That's good radio.
That is great.
Thank you. the next stage of good radio is to stop commenting on it being good radio.
Mm.
And I will get there.
You'll get there, don't worry.
There's another local Facebook forum. Right, will the person who keeps stealing one shoe from outside my house just stop it? This is the third time this has happened. When I find out who it is, there will be trouble and your bin will be getting tipped into the road. So, first of all, I love the vindictive sort of revenge that your bin's getting tipped into the road.
Yeah.
But second of all, one shoe. So why are you leaving your shoes outside your house?
Yeah.
And it is objectively funny to steal one shoe than it is...
Very.
Because stealing two shoes is theft. Stealing one shoe is a prank.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Stop leaving shoes outside your house.
And so how many How many one shoes has this person stolen? How many times has this happened?
De-shoe me once, shame on you. De-shoe yeah, me twice. Exactly. Yeah. Keep stealing. Yeah, this must be at least three times to do a post about
if
it.
If you leave your a pair of your shoes outside of it, first of all, who does that?
Yeah, that's mad.
And then the one gets stolen, and then you do it again, and this sounds like it's probably more than twice.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Keeps stealing.
Yeah.
How many pairs of shoes have they ruined?
I wonder if they get them back at all. Or yeah, they're just a person just left with single shoes.
Mm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's a fascinating mystery there over in Glossop, I believe. And we'll head into our final. I've Kieran on the screen control. I was like, let me do a smooth transition out of this. And I just kept making him jump between the posts. So apologies, Kieran. We'll quickly do this one. Further to my post last month, as regards to neighbours' cats defecating on private lawns, I've now gathered sufficient evidence, mostly via discreet hidden cameras, to be forwarded to where God knows. I am also setting up a Facebook group page for this. If anyone requires further information or wishes for the evidence to be forwarded, please DM myself. So there's a separate sort of. So would you join this Facebook forum? Would this tempt you back to Facebook?
Yeah, I love cats, even if it's videos of them shitting. That's lovely.
They're quite funny when they're shitting. They've got quite a specific face about them.
Well, it's the eye contact. It's the looking straight at you while
they're I hope they're looking down these discreet hidden cameras as they shit. Our neighbour had this cat machine put into our garden to stop the cats. It's like emits a high pitch noise.
Yeah.
But the problem is, she's like in her 70s. I was at the time when I was with my parents, I was in my teens. I could hear this high pitched noise.
Yeah.
So I was like, what do you do? Shit in her garden.
Yeah.
Because as cats, you know, they're like, oh, that's an annoying noise. Whereas humans, I'm like, oh, that's an annoying noise. Let me go shit in her garden. I've got the willpower to, In the end, I just went and turned it off one day and she never realised.
Yeah.
Because she can't hear the noise.
Yeah, I had a similar problem with a neighbour, but I never had
the audacity.
The courage.
That's bravery to shit in your neighbour's garden. Yeah. Well, I'd be screwed if she had a hidden discreet camera. Now we are at our final post. I'm actually disgusted to see this arrangement in the Trowbridge B&Q today. So this is sort of letters for a door, like, you know, you've got the numbers, you know, 12 Oak Drive or whatever. But somebody has rearranged some of the letters to spell out a rather unfortunate vulgarity. Would you like to read that out, Charlie?
There's nothing funny about that. It spells out cunt, which is...
It's not on.
It's not.
I'm disgusted.
Yeah.
I agree. This is... The people of Trowbridge don't deserve this. That's just down the road in Swindon, yes. But Trowbridge is a nice place. Let's not do this to Trowbridge.
By the way, all of these stories are... They're very southwest central.
The southwest is mad. I think that's why.
Yeah, okay. So you're not biased towards them when you're searching for these stories?
No, genuinely, because some of these are just like, so there's like a national page that posts some of the like mad people on Facebook. They just happen to be in the southwest because people in the southwest have nothing to do with their time and are all mental.
Yeah.
And I say that as someone from the southwest.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm also from the southwest.
So we are experts on this. And let me say, Dorset, Devon, Cornwall, Wiltshire, mental. Yeah. It's mad down there.
It is true. I just worry that there's northerners listening thinking we're mad.
Yeah, but you're like charming mad. These are like
mad.
Proper mad. Farmer mad or posh mad, or worst of all, farmer posh mad.
Yeah.
And it's a lot.
Yeah,
look, if you're in Trowbridge, don't take your children to the B&Q. God knows what sort of arrangements the letters might be in. You know, today it's cunt, tomorrow it's fuck. It's just an endless sort of options of
slippery slope, isn't it?
It really is. So yeah, just be careful out there. We've got young children. Mm. Be careful where you take them. God knows what people have done out in the world. We're going to head into a break, during which we're going to book flights to Belarus. We're going to organise our Dorchester Tutankhamun trip. We've got so much to do. We've got another guest coming into the studio, the brilliant Alex Mason, and that'll be back just after this short momentary break.
FUBAR Radio. Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Hello. Oh, my goodness, that break was too short. We didn't get anything done. We've not booked our trip to the Tutankhamun world. We've not booked flights to Belarus. We've just about worked out Spotify to hear Charlie's Diana tribute song. Maybe we'll listen to that at the end of the show. But more importantly, we welcome into the studio Alex Mason. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. This is not your first foray into radio, I hear.
Yeah, but it's really embarrassing, my first one. So.
What happened?
Well, I used to be, when I was at Cardiff, they had like a student radio show, and then they were very much like, I don't think you should come back.
Oh my goodness. But they gave you your own show, or you came in as a guest?
Well, they gave me my own show, but they were like, it's just not really appropriate, because I was just talking about my favourite fan fiction.
That sounds great.
Yeah, it was great.
Amazing. I think you were ahead of your time. Yeah. Because nowadays, that would be like, Fubar Radio would buy that in a heartbeat. That's what people want, fanfic chat.
Yeah.
Do you still write fanfic?
I don't write it, but I read it religiously.
Oh, you read it? Okay. Yeah. Was it like a copyright issue then?
No, it's more like I'd go into like all the inappropriate scenes.
Yeah. Can you please stop reading out porn on the radio? Yeah.
That seems more fair enough now. Yeah.
Well, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you. You've got an Edinburgh Fringe run coming up and lots of previews. What's the name of your show?
It's called How to Lose a Guy in 45 Minutes.
Is the show 45 minutes long?
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
That's good fun. Yeah. So you're at Carbon Free at 6:45 during the Edinburgh Fringe. We've also got previews coming up in Brighton on the 30th of May. I've got the description here. A whirlwind journey through a personal romantic comedy as you navigate the search for a love interest.
Yeah.
So yeah, is that what sort of stuff can we expect?
So basically I just find a guy in the audience and I try and get him to fall in love with me. It doesn't work unless they've got like a shame kink, and then they do ask me for my number afterwards.
Has that happened before? Happened.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Mate. So just got to hope you land on a real sort of shame kinky.
I try and pick like the weediest guy in there.
Who would you, if your audience was me and Charlie, who would be the weediest? Who would you pick?
I'd pick Charlie.
Oh, interesting.
Purely because of the moustache, okay. I think.
Oh, but I think the moustache makes him less weedy. That's interesting.
Yeah, but it's more like I don't know. It's hard to pick.
It's a weedy mustache. Is that what you're saying?
No. If we're doing that, I've got the weediest mustache. I've tried Movember. This is the most I've ever grown my facial hair. I've tried Movember several times. Once somebody said to me that your mustache was so bad that it was actively damaging to men's mental health. Oh. That's what I've got. I've grown an anti-suicide mustache, a pro-suicide mustache, even. Yeah. So yeah, I would have picked me on mustache capabilities. But then I suppose you know us both, so
yeah, that's true. Yeah.
So it's more of a known personality thing. That's why you picked me. That's good. That's
well,
nice.
We did say. Earlier, yeah. You are the supreme virgin because of all your cryptic crossword fun.
Great as well. I love them.
Oh, you like them? Yeah. Okay, good. Thanks.
Yeah, it is good. I know it didn't sound it on the radio earlier, but it's good. Go check it out. At Charlie Bowers Comedy. You're at Mason Makes Jokes on Instagram.
Yeah.
I've noticed you doing this thing recently, Roll for Craft. You're quite a good crafter.
Yeah.
What's your best ever craft?
Well, I do these crochet cowboy hats and I really love them, but it's a weird thing to do, I think. My parents think I'm really weird being stuck in my room.
I think if only Harry Styles was still touring, I think you'd have a perfect market.
Yeah.
That's exactly who would go for it.
Yeah.
You've missed the Taylor Swift Harry Styles way.
Yeah, I know. Well, maybe like Sabrina Carpenter, but the thing is I couldn't make them for other people because I'd have to sell them for loads of money.
Oh, because it's so much time to crochet a whole cowboy hat. That is mad.
Yeah.
Does it have the rigidity of a hat?
Yeah, because I do it over a cowboy hat.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Oh, that's cool.
So you're actually buying a cowboy hat and more crochet off. Yeah.
Well, there you go. At Mason Makes Jokes for expensive but beautifully made crochet cowboy hats, but more importantly, some brilliant comedy, especially at the Edinburgh Fringe. Charlie, you're at the Edinburgh Fringe as well whilst we're in this realm. Are you going to the Fringe?
I'm not this year, no.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I completely misheard our conversation earlier.
Yeah,
I put my foot in it.
Set me up for failure.
Yeah, I really have. Of course, your cryptic crossword successes have taken you to the Fringe, haven't they?
No, they have not.
Oh, okay, never mind. Sorry. Back in the day, before this used to be live, I would have edited that faux pas out, but it just has to sit there awkwardly now.
Yes. Leave it in, I like it.
Okay, good. Yeah, you've got a shame kink.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, perfect.
I'm able to pick them out really easily now.
Yeah. Nailed that.
You've got the instinct. Yeah. Well, I wonder whether you've got the instinct for some headlines. Yeah, here we go. Oh, welcome to the news. Yeah, this is actually a topical show. You wouldn't have known it from our discussion so far. What I've got here is some unusual headlines with a word missing. I'm going to read them out. Tell me what fills in the blank of this headline. First of all, are either of you newsy people, or do you follow the news, Alex?
No, I like actively avoid it.
That is sensible. Yeah. I think that's good for mental health.
Yeah.
Charlie?
A little bit. Here and there. Nothing big.
Nothing big. Oh, yeah. Perfect. This is the definition of nothing big. These are the bottom lines. Good. The stories that don't make the main news roundups. This is, first of all, drop in number of blank as society goes cashless. Drop in number of blank as society goes cashless. What do you think has been reduced in number due to the move towards sort of contactless payments and stuff?
Oh, that's a good one.
Well, what would you usually use perhaps coins and cash for?
Fairground rides.
Drop in number of fairground rides. But then they just do tokens, though, don't they? They that you exchange your money for a token, which based on international sort of currency exchange is one of the best exchange rates. It's a very strong currency, the Fairground token. So I don't think that stands to reason, because you've got to buy these tokens. What about you, Alex? Do you have any reason, any thoughts?
I think Freddo's or something like that.
Dropping number of Freddo's because people don't have the loose change to be like, oh, I've got 25p, I'll just get a Freddo.
And then you have to buy, if you're using contactless, you have to buy extra stuff in the shop.
Oh, of course, because they're the £1 minimum. Yeah. So either you have to have an inordinate amount of Freddo's or do a full shop.
Are Freddo's less than a pound now? I thought they were over a pound now.
No. They're still like 25p, I think. Certain shops will mark them up, but across the board, I think 25p. But the actual answer is drop in the number of children swallowing coins. Yes, this is according to the Royal College of Surgeons. There's nearly 700 fewer cases of children swallowing coins, getting coins stuck out of their nose, because we are now living in a cashless society.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's heartwarming. Yeah. That's wholesome news. I like that.
Exactly. We're all about wholesome news, uplifting here on the radio. Here's another headline for you, maybe topical, for this seasonally topical rather than like newsy topical. Give you a clue there. Martin Lewis ranks top seven blank. What do you think? Martin Lewis, our Lord and Saviour, has weighed in on this week. Mm. He's ranking the top seven what product?
Oh, product.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to be like Sexiest Man.
Top Martin Lewis, money saving expert, has come in with his opinions on who is the sexiest man. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to hear Martin Lewis's opinions on the sexiest man, but it is a product. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
A seasonally topical product. There's your clue.
A seasonally topical product. It's got to be Easter related.
It is indeed Easter. Yeah. We are still a Christian nation. Thank you very much. We celebrate Easter. What Easter product do you think he's been ranking?
Easter eggs.
Easter eggs. Mm-hmm. Along the right lines. Maybe a bit too grand, the Easter egg.
Oh. Too grand.
Too grand. Too large, perhaps. Oh.
Mini eggs.
Yes, there we go. Listeners screaming into their transmitters. That's why I imagine that all people are listening to this on a proper radio transmitter.
He's ranking... He's ranking the colours of mini eggs.
No, he's ranking the top seven mini eggs. So what he's done is he's got all the mini eggs available on the market. He's ranked them price per gram. Mm. And then he's done a taste test. And then he's... this is math stuff that you would have much better grounding on than I, Alex. He's taken the average point price per gram and the average taste ranking and smushed them together for a points per price rating.
To be fair, I'm doing something very similar with fruit pastels.
With fruit pastels?
Yeah. Every packet, I'm working out how many colour I get per packet and then working out the average. Purple, pulling ahead.
Really?
Yeah, way, yeah.
Do you know what? I love your comedy so much. And what I love about this is when you say, that's what I'm doing with fruit pastels, I have no idea whether you're doing this as a project to put out into the world or whether you're just doing it for fun.
No, just my own pastels.
I love that.
This is the first time I told anyone as well, yeah.
I appreciate it. We've got breaking news here on Pulse Nation.
Nice.
So purple's pulling ahead. Who's trailing behind at the back end?
Yellow,
yeah. No yellows.
But I'm also ranking how I find greens, because I think greens taste different in most packets.
Okay.
But I'm the only one that thinks that.
Different to two other packets, like they're not consistent?
Yeah, different to other greens.
Okay.
Well, surely you're the expert on... You're the only person... I'm going to put this out there. You're the only person doing crossword-based comedy.
Yeah.
And I think you're the only person ranking, following and tracking fruit pastels.
Do you know, I actually don't think so. I reckon someone else is probably doing it.
Well, look, reach out. If you're out there in this fruit pastel realm, give us a message.
Yeah, we can merge research. I would love that.
Yeah, you can get it peer-reviewed.
Yeah.
That would be good. Sort of move towards a PhD in it, maybe. Yeah, so yellow's at the back, purple's pulling ahead. In the world of mini eggs, though, this might surprise you, Poundland comes out on top as the best value and best tasting for Martin Lewis. And right at the bottom is Sainsbury's. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So there you go. If you want to get mini eggs, go to Poundland. That is the verdict of Martin Lewis.
I like the orange ones. They've got the orange flavoured mini eggs now. Yes, those are my favourites.
Yeah, the Cadbury's ones.
So does that throw off his list? Do they factor in at all?
I think that they wouldn't, because it has to be a controlled experiment, obviously. That you can't throw in flavoured mini eggs. It has to be the original.
He needs to have a bit of fun, bit of variation in his life, I think, Martin.
So I mean, I think this is his variation. He's mostly doing like mortgage rates and council tax and stuff, and now he's doing mini eggs. I think that is his variation. Is not enough? No.
No. It needs a bit more, I think.
You think he's a bit of a miserable bastard?
I'm sure he's a lovely guy. I don't know. I'm going in so hard on Martin Lewis. He seems lovely.
No, you've got to take a stance. This is talk radio, you know, much like, you know, LBC or something like that. We need a strong opinions. And you think, and this is your words, I'll paraphrase a little bit. Martin Lewis is a horrible, miserable cunt. That's what you just said. That's what you heard that, Alex, right?
Yeah.
And on the contrary, what are your feelings on Martin Lewis, money saving expert?
I think we're good. I don't know, I think he sounds cool.
I think he sounds cool as well. It's weird that Charlie went so hard on him.
Especially because I'm so doing such a similar thing.
Yeah.
Without the recognition and everything.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, you haven't got the recognition. Well, look, Martin Lewis is making all these headlines with these mini eggs ranking. Get Alex Mason into the papers. Metro, call us up. We've got an exclusive for you. Fruit pastel, what would you call that sort of... you're tasting specifically greens, but ranking the colours in terms of...
Well, I eat all of it. Oh, and then I rank the packet overall as well.
Interesting.
Yeah, how much I like it.
I think it's interesting that purples are the most common and yellows are the least, because that feels like fan service, doesn't it? It feels like that's what the people want.
Yeah, I'd agree.
And I think that's good of them. It's good of Roundtrees. Is it still Roundtrees?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I think that's... I like Roundtrees for that. That's good.
Yeah.
So are you sort of purple guy? Would you like more purples in your packet?
I'm ambivalent to fruit pastels, I'll be honest. For me, it's all sugar. I don't think the colour makes a difference. That's okay.
No, that's a hot take.
Getting some very sort of dirty looks right now. Yeah.
That's a radio take. Yeah, that's incredible. It's wrong, but yeah.
The fruit pastels definitely have a different flavour.
Yeah.
Okay. As much as I'm willing to concede that I probably am wrong.
It got very icy in here, didn't it?
I really did. I think it's the air conditioning. Oh, what's happening? There's a cold sort of atmosphere here. I will concede that probably I am wrong. And what's probably happening is I'm eating them too quickly to notice any flavour profile. It's all just sugar. What I do like with fruit pastels, especially the bag, lick the finger, dib dab the sort of fruit pastel eczema. That's good for me. I like that. Now, as much as that might be controversial, I'm going to introduce this to the mix. My friend Joe Wells says there is no difference between chocolate. He thinks Galaxy, Dairy Milk, Yorkie, all these different chocolate brands are the exact same flavour profile. He strongly, firmly, and he's not on the radio to defend himself, so feel free to call him whatever you want. I know you've got some strong words about Martin Lewis, so if you want to put the boot in, feel free. Yeah. What do you reckon about that? All chocolate tastes the same.
That's definitely wrong, because they've all got different amounts of cocoa in.
Yes,
well.
Yeah. They've all got different textures. There's all so much going on.
Yeah, the texture thing is big, because Yorkies, I had a Yorkie the other day, and I thought, this is a bit too much, actually.
It's chunky.
It's a bit too chunky.
That's why they went to this for their sexist marketing. It's like it's so chunky that like girls could not manage it. That's what they were sort of implying.
But it makes a huge difference. So there's no way. But that's not. Is that taste and texture are different things? Is he saying that the taste profile is the same?
He thinks the taste profile. He thinks all chocolate is just the same thing in different shapes.
No.
Yeah.
Because Galaxy is so different to Dairy Milk as well.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So what's happened here? As a little peek behind my sort of diplomatic curtain, is there was nice the atmosphere against me. Obviously, you said some unkind things about Martin Lewis, and I introduced a third party enemy that we could all rally against, who isn't here to defend himself.
Yeah.
So before we end the show, we'll just message out Joe Wells, you're a stupid prick. There we go. One day I'll have him on the radio show and he'll be allowed to defend himself, but not today. We end every show with a little debate, which I feel like we've already had, really, but nonetheless we'll plough on with this. This is from the Metro today. This is Debbie Stowe's opinion piece in the Metro. I'm a mum of two and don't agree with school's phone ban. So obviously lots of schools across the country are banning smartphones, banning phones in school, certainly in classes, but she thinks that actually we are mollycoddling our children if we do that, because we're not exposing them to the real world. Well, we do have our phones on us. What do you think? Phones in school, yay or nay?
I think like a Nokia.
A Nokia, yeah.
But I don't think smartphones for children.
I agree. I don't think we should have smartphones or social media until 16, maybe even 18.
I completely agree with that.
I agree with that, definitely, yeah. Yep.
Wow.
I was a teaching assistant.
No. Well, I think we're just so unified in our hate of Joe Wells that we've sort of come to the peaceful middle ground. It's not good radio. But it's very loving in the studio. There's a warm air now. Where there once was sort of icy discontentment, I feel like we're having a bit of a love-in right now.
It's lovely. It's great.
Charlie, I like your moustache. I aspire to your moustache.
Yeah.
I respect your cryptic crossword content.
Thank
I think
you.
You're a great guy. Alex, you're hilarious. You bring some of the most unique and funny chaos I've ever seen on stage.
Oh.
I think your show at Edinburgh is going to be great.
Oh, thanks. You too.
Thank you. Thank you very much. What a lovely... Yeah, this is nice.
Have we got any time to plug the joke clinic?
Oh, yes. Sorry. Yeah. This is the one thing. I said, is there anything you want to promote or talk about? And he's like, oh, no, nothing really. Just the joke clinic. And we've spent 54 minutes not talking about the joke clinic. Yes, you have 20 seconds. Give us a plug of the joke clinic.
Oh, okay. It's a channel on YouTube that you can go and watch. Myself and Walter Jack, another comedian, we host guest comedians on, and we help them with their material, but it all goes a bit wrong, and you've both been guests on it, and you're both fantastic, and you had a great time.
Yeah, yeah, we had a lot of fun. Google Joke Clinic, Andrew White, Joke Clinic, Alex Mason. They're really, really funny. At one point, I will get both of you and Walter in to give a Joke Clinic assessment of this show. So keep an eye out for that. You can follow Charlie at Charlie Bowers Comedy, Alex at Mason Makes Jokes. I'm at Stand Up Andrew at Fubar Radio for all your radio needs. Thank you to Kieran and Yasmin in the production booth, as always. And we'll see you next week.
Fubar Radio.